Hello, everyone. It's good to be together, even through this media of the internet. It's now been about a month since our last large gathering, since the fall season started, and we are now dealing with a new spike in the COVID cases. But the better news and the more important news is that today, God's grace, His goodness towards us has been renewed. And this is the reason that gives us hope. It's the reason that gives us a glue for our community. Because being an international community and being in such a diverse community with people from literally all over the world, what brings us together is not many of our likeness and preferences or background, but it's more the fact that God's grace and God's heart for every person, for every tribe, for every language is the one that unites us. And we know, we understand that this season is not what we wanted, is not what we hoped and planned for, but we also understand that life is the way it is right now, and we are counting on God, and it's hard for us, but let's try to be as close together as possible. I know some of you who are watching this have been part of this community for a long time, and you already feel quite integrated. I know others are people who have recently moved to Bucharest, who are understanding their ways or who are trying to find their way. Let's be brothers and sisters in Christ. And as the notice said earlier, and you saw it, if you have any questions or anything that you think we can be of assistance, or even if you don't know, reach out to us and we'll try to connect you. We are praying for each other because God will move us together in this season. And 2021, it's only 2 months away. 2 months from today, we'll be in 2021. I guess we'll all be glad that 2020 will be behind us. And we believe that God will take care of us in the season ahead. And may the blessings of God continue to be with you, with your children, with your families. And do not lose hope. Do not lose heart. Stay focused on what you need to do. But more than anything, stay focused on God. Hallelujah. Because this is what we try to do. Last week, I shared with you a message entitled, What Are You Counting On? Because we are all counting on something in life as the main thing, as the main principle, as the guiding thing in our life. So the question that I have for you is, what are you counting on? Are you counting just on you, on your experience, which is not all bad? Our experience can be helpful. Our knowledge and studies and relationships can all be helpful, but they are simply not enough. And the Bible offers us a better way, and that is to submit to God, to trust Him, to rely on Him, on His goodness. And yes, some people may say, well, Pastor Christie, that's not very elaborate. That's not very sophisticated for the year 2020. We need something more updated and more upgraded. Well, what is being upgraded and updated every day is His goodness towards us. His goodness is good to us. It's new. And we rely on God's goodness to us because everything else is sinking sand. Everything else, you know, it's not strong enough. It's not good enough to be the foundation to build our houses. And I'm not talking about our physical house. I'm talking about our lives, you know, the careers, the future that we have, you know. And we saw in the message that I shared last Sunday, and if you hadn't had a chance to watch it, I encourage you to go back. You can find it, you know, on the Facebook page, the post from, you know, October 25th, or you can find it on the web page of our church, internationalchurch.ro. And you can look at some of the things that we shared, because we basically understand that in order to rely on God, we need to live based on His promises. His promises are yes and amen, which is like if He made them, He will keep them. His promises are strong regardless of circumstances, and even when things are tough and bad, like many of the circumstances that we face during this pandemic. We also look at the fact that God's promises are based on His character and who He is and what we really think of Him. So that's a good challenge for us. At the same time, we need to understand that some of God's promises are conditional on our choices, on our attitudes, on the path that we choose to follow. So I won't say more of what I shared last week, but I encourage you to watch it because it's important to understand that there is a way of life that is wiser, and that is to trust in God, to rely on Him. So today, in continuation of that, I want to share about something that challenges us all. And the question for today is this: why is it hard to live on the promises? Why is it hard for us, even for Christians, for followers of Christ, to live their life based on the promises of God? Because, you know, on one hand, many of us know that God is good and has some promises for us, but oftentimes we find ourselves in routines, in a way of life that is not based on that. And I won't have the pretense that I'm going to cover all the possibilities, all the reasons why it's hard to live based on God's promises, but I want to share a few things, and hopefully they will be of help to you, and hopefully as we talk about them, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we'll be able to deal with some of these obstacles. We'll be able to understand that some of the things that stop us or limit us from living in the God-given potential, to live according to His promises, some of these things can be removed from our minds, from our hearts. So then our lives will be even more and more relying on Him. Because basically, you know, when we understand the Word of God, we understand that this is the way that God deals with His people, and that has been His way in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. The New Testament upgrades and transforms the Old Testament, but it doesn't change the fact that still God deals with us based on promises. But why is it so hard? So just a few things that I want to share. Obviously, it's hard to live on the promises of God if we don't know His promises, if we don't know that God promised us things, if we do not understand who God is, if we don't understand that God is who He says He is, and that is a person of promise, a person who keeps His promises, a person who keeps all His promises, a person who doesn't go back on His promises. If we don't understand, if we don't know the promises of God, it's kind of hard to live on them. I want to read a passage from you from the book of Ephesians. And the book of Ephesians, it's a very helpful book for everyone who wants to understand how God wants to deal with people, for how true church should be. Because you often talk about that we are a church, we are a community of faith, you know, we are God's church. But what does it really mean that? Are we becoming a God's church by the name we choose, by the declaration, statement of faith that we have, by the songs that we sing, or is it something beyond that? And obviously, even though we appreciate the things that I just mentioned, what we appreciate more, we appreciate God's plan in our lives. In Ephesians 3, Apostle Paul is sharing his credential, he's sharing why he writes to the church in Ephesus, and why he is writing some of the things, and he says some of the things he says. And then in Ephesians 3, verse 4, he says this: in reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit of God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel of the Gentiles, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Let me read this again, because this is a key verse, a key principle for us. The mystery that was not revealed at other times, but became very clear when Jesus Christ became flesh, when He became a man and lived and preached and demonstrated God's love among us. The mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles, which is everyone who is not a Jew, are now heirs together, inheritors together with Israel. Jews and Gentiles all together, we are inheritors, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. That's the wonderful thing that we need to understand, that Christ has united all humankind in faith in one body. Everybody who understands who Christ is and understands his love and his plan for us then becomes a child of God. We are all God's creation, but through faith in Jesus Christ, through the adoption that we have, through the blood that he paid and bought us with, we are now children of God in one body of one promise. And by that, we are becoming sharers, inheritors, heirs together, you know, of the family of God. And that is an important thing, because that means that we have access. When you are somebody's heir, when you inherit someone, you can step in into his rights. You can step in into his titles. Like, you know, throughout the ages, so that's how sometimes people, you know, like queens and kings or princesses, based on their lineage, based on who their parents were, they grow up in that. Well, some of us do not have famous families, most of us, right? But in Christ, we are part of the eternal family of God. And when we enter God's family, we live on promises, or live on his promises. We have a right to something that is amazingly beautiful. And it's hard for us sometimes to comprehend it. In the book of John, in chapter 14, it was, you know, towards the very end of Jesus' time on earth. It was, you know, the evening of the Last Supper when he was with his believers. And in John 14, Jesus says this: "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you. But I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I prepare a place for you. I'll come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." Okay, basically Jesus is saying, I am the promise of God. And I made you a promise, and I will keep my promise, and I will be back, and you know the way to where I'm going. And then, just like it happens to many of us, and the Bible is very clear on this, some of the believers did not understand this. Just like we don't understand, you know, that we have access to God's promises, that we can rely on his goodness. And Thomas goes in John 14:5, he says, Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" It's like, you know, it made sense, like, we don't know where you're going, so obviously if you don't know where you're going, how can we know the way to where you're going? Because we don't know where you're going. Because that's what we believe. It's like, God, we don't understand some of these things. We don't understand what you want to do. We don't understand how you work with us. We don't understand how what Christ has done 2,000 years ago has direct relevance and application to us. We don't understand some of these things. And yes, it takes the Spirit of God to reveal them, to make them real for us. But Jesus answers to Thomas. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do not know him and have seen, you do know him and have seen him." From now on, basically, from the moment when Jesus embodied God as a human being, from the moment when Jesus preached the gospel of the good news, from the moment when he paid the price, just like he was about to do, he was going to die on the cross. From that moment, if we want to understand God, we look at Jesus. If you don't understand God, look to Jesus being there on the cross. While people were ridiculing him, he was saying, "God, do not hold this against them. Forgive them, for they do not know what they do." That's God. If we don't understand who God is and why he allows troubles in our life, look to Jesus when he's saying, you know, that same night, "Jesus, God, if possible, please remove this cup, this bitter cup from me. I would not want to have to deal with this. But not my will be done, but your will." Because we don't want to deal with certain things. We don't want to deal with this pandemic, with the restriction. We don't want to deal with many things that are happening in our life. We don't like some of the circumstances of our life. But, you know, we look to Jesus to understand God, and Jesus, you want to say, "God, thy way be done." Okay? So then, you know, they continue. And Philip, just like us, now from Thomas, it went to Philip. It's like, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Kind of like, oh, if you show us God, man, if you do a demonstration, you know, show God to us, man, it will be amazing. And Jesus said, man, you don't know me, Philip? After all that I've been among you, you know, I've been among you for such a long time. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak of my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. You know, Jesus talks here about an authority. And it's this authority of God that gives us access to the promises of God. Because it's God the one who made the promises to us, that he'll be good and kind and he will not forsake us, he will not forget us. And that is the most important promise he made, that he will be with us always. It is based on the authority of God. And we need to understand this. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Excuse me. Believe me when I say this. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. We have access to the great promises of God because Jesus made it possible. He made us heirs, inheritors, sharers together in the promise of God. But if we do not understand this, then it's hard for us to live on the promises. You know, if we do not fill our hearts and minds with the Word of God, with the amazing promises, then it's hard for us to live on them. You know, people who have studied Scripture well and have counted, they are saying there are like 7,000 to 8,000 promises in the Word of God. And most of those, over 6,000, are applicable and relevant to us today as children of God. That's amazing. That's a few per day. Hallelujah. But we have to fill our mind and heart with them. We have to understand that God made an opening to Jesus Christ, to the throne room of God. And if we understand this, then we will have a way of life that we can rely on him. You know, the very well-known preacher of the 19th century, Charles Spurgeon from England, you know, he wrote a book about the promises of God. And the subtitle basically says it's the way that God deals with people, with his people. He deals with them by making and keeping promises. But at the same time, you know, Spurgeon understands something that is also real today, that we often do not believe those promises. And I want to read a quote to you from Charles Spurgeon. And he says this: it is the cause of much weakness to many, too many, that they do not treat the promises of God as realities. Let me read this again. It is the cause of much weakness that too many, that they do not treat the promises of God as realities. If a friend makes them a promise, they regard it as a substantial thing and look for that which it secures. But the declarations of God are often viewed as so many words which means very little. Basically means that sometimes we don't take God for real. We don't understand that his promises are yes and amen. We think they're just fairy tales. We think they're like, yeah, well, who knows? They're not applicable to me. But they are. Through Jesus Christ, they are. To me and to you. And that's the amazing thing. And that's how we start. And that's how we can know that we can live on the promises of God. Another reason why we don't live on the promises, we don't enjoy the promises of God, other than that we do not know them and we don't understand that how God works and how God makes things possible, another reason has to do with the fact that we don't ask for them. We don't rely on God's promises, or we ask for the wrong reasons. And this is what the book of James talks about. In James chapter 4, we find these words. Book of James, it's towards the end of the Bible. And in James 4, it says this: 4:2. You desire but do not have, so you will kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. Yeah, that's sometimes the strife, the tension, the stress, the frustration that we go through. And then it says this, you do not have because you do not ask God. It basically says that we do not look to Him for help. We don't rely on Him. We don't rely on His promises. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. It basically says that you do not get things, you do not have things because you don't ask for them. You don't look to God. The promises are there for you, but you don't ask for them. Or, James says here and warns us, and the warning is valid for us today, we ask with the wrong motives, with the wrong reasons. We ask with the reason of wasting it at our pleasures. Again, God gives us good pleasure, and there are holy pleasure, there are good things, and by holy pleasure, I don't just mean like worshiping God, singing, prayer, even enjoying good things in life, enjoying your family, enjoying your wife, enjoying community with your friends, enjoying food. It's a gift from God, so those are not bad. But when we want to do things just for us, for selfishness, for me, myself, and I, as some people put it, and we just want to be in the world, in the sense of the world of people who are living here horizontally, just life here, all it's about right now, and it's here and now, and nothing else. When we live like that, we blow up God's plan. We miss on the promises of God. You know, when we have just a very, you know, narrow attitude, and we want to just spend things for us, and we basically look to Jesus Christ as a Santa Claus, as a personal Santa Claus for us, that will give us things that will make it nice and comfortable for us. Well, God takes pleasure in taking care of us because He is our good Father. But God is also the leader of a great multitude, of a nation. Through Abraham, the father of faith, the promise was made that all of us, you know, we are becoming children of the promise. And part of our mandate, part of our calling is to represent God, is to be His representatives in the world. And when we live a life that is self-centered, that is just geared towards comfort and towards us and towards our reputation and our wealth, then we miss on the promises of God, because God's plan is to prosper us so we can be a blessing. God's plan is for us to be part of His nation, part of His redeemed people that is bringing restoration to the world. So if we understand that the promise of God is not just for us to waste, you know, on us, but to share and to be a blessing to others, then we really have access to the promises of God. But again, this is one of the reasons why we don't get to live on the promises of God. We do not ask for them, or we ask for them, but for the wrong motives. So when we find ourselves asking God things, when we live and we claim His promises, we also need to ask ourselves, why am I asking for them? What leads me to do this? Is my motivation holy? Is my motivation right? Is my heart right before God? Or do I want to use God for something? God is not a mean to something else. He is the ultimate goal. He is the ultimate reality. He is the ultimate presence. So we don't use God for something else. We don't even use God for us. It's more that we live for Him. Hallelujah. But I want to move on. Again, we are sharing about reasons, obstacles in living based on the promises of God. And probably the most important reason, the most important obstacle in not living on the promises of God has to do with this. Promises are based on faith, or they work with faith. We have access to the promises of God through faith in Jesus Christ, not circumstances and not feelings. Well, and this is where the problem lies. This is where the challenge is. Because as human beings in this world, and not just during this special year with the pandemic and everything else, we live in a certain context. We live in a physical presence. We live in a certain city, in a certain community, in a certain house. You know, we live in certain, in a given set of circumstances. And all of these things cause all sorts of emotions. If you don't understand me, imagine this. Imagine that you are trying to go somewhere in Bucharest or, you know, somewhere else if you live somewhere else. And imagine that you have 20 minutes to get somewhere. And in Bucharest, 20 minutes doesn't mean much. And imagine that you are stuck in traffic. We imagine that the bus that you're in, you know, it's blocked by something. Imagine that there is a construction work and you cannot get. Imagine that you go to the subway and you just missed it. What kind of emotions does it create? Not happy ones. And we can imagine, you know, imagine when your children, or your teenage children, if you have those, they may give you an attitude. What kind of emotions do we have? Imagine that your hopes and some of the things that you're praying for are being deferred, or you feel like God has forgotten about you. How do you feel? Obviously, circumstances and feelings often lead us away from the promises of God. But the only way to access, to receive the promises of God is through faith. And faith is something that doesn't come natural. It doesn't come from our normal routines. You know, everybody on earth, we go through certain things. We know we take care of us, we eat, we try to sleep, sometimes not enough, but you know, or sometimes too much food, whatever. We brush our teeth, or we should do it, or we do all sorts of things. We go to our job, we try to study, or we should study. And those things are good and necessary, but they don't build up our faith. You know, it's something else that builds our faith. And faith, it's the key element in us relating to God. In Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, in the famous chapter of faith, chapter 11, in verse 6, it says this: without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because for everyone who approaches him, needs to believe in him, needs to believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who search for him earnestly, honestly, authentically. You cannot please God unless you believe in him and unless you search for him, because he rewards those which search for him. So faith, it's the means in dealing with God. It's the way that we access everything in the spiritual world, in the spirit world. Just like, as somebody said it, as just the way that money moves earth, and with money you can get a lot of things. You can have access to great health, to great cars, to a lot of popularity and fake friends even. And money can get you a lot of things here on earth. You can get houses, you can get all sorts of things. But obviously sometimes money, even on earth, is not enough. However, in the spirit world, our money cannot buy us things. We often believe that money can get you everything. And even in religious circle, we often think that people with money, they can buy their way into happiness, they can buy their way into heaven. It doesn't work. Jesus himself said it. In dealing with a rich person who was so in love with his richness and his comfort, even though this person believed in God and recognized Jesus as a prophet, it was hard for him to not trust his riches more. You know, and Jesus said his famous words, you know, that what is impossible with man, it is possible with God. With God, all things are possible. And that is faith. And God's promises can become real to us, and we can rely on them only to the degree that we grow in faith. And if that's the case, it means that we need to find ways to increase our faith. And faith, it's a gift that God gives us through Christ. You know, it's not us waking up one morning and saying, I have decided to search for God. No, God is following. He's looking. He's searching for all of us. You know, we're all lost. We're all wandering. And God is searching for us. And the Holy Spirit is working in our hearts. And we choose to open. We choose to respond. And some of you have been hesitant or have been procrastinating to respond to God's searching, to God's knocking out of your heart. But this is how faith believe happens. This is how we start to believe, by responding to what God is doing in our hearts. And when He does this, then we open ourselves to Him. And He gives us this gift. But faith, it's also something that we can search for, in the sense that we can build it. Just like somebody can grow his muscles. You know, we can grow our muscles by exercise, by lifting weights, by, you know, or like our legs, if we run or if we do all sorts of things. Just like that, our face muscles, so to speak, can grow, can be strengthened. And how can we do that? Well, the Bible says to us in Romans that faith comes from hearing, but from the hearing of the Word of God. Because, you know, we live in a world that is so much based on realities, on circumstances, and we have so many sensors and we have so many means, especially in our age, day and age, when we hear news. It used to be that something that would happen, you know, in a different country, it would take sometimes days or even a week or even a month. Even as, you know, like I remember how it was in communism in Romania. Sometimes we would not hear about something for weeks. But even in, you know, in modern or even old open countries, it took days and age. Well, now everybody knows it. Like yesterday, there was a news that a very famous actor, Sean Connery, passed away. Many of us appreciated his accent, you know, and his style. You know, he died somewhere on an island, and within hours, the whole world knew about it. Well, what I'm trying to say is that our faith is not growing based on the news we get on television, on WhatsApp, on Twitter. It doesn't strengthen based on what we hear from different people. Yes, people and internet and television can be one of the means that the Word of God is propagated, and we can do that. But what I'm trying to say is that we have to be intentional in tuning to the right frequency in order to hear things that will build our faith. Just like as somebody who wants to grow their muscles or they want to be in good shape, they have to go to a gym, they have to go to a park, they have to use some weights, or they have to use some tools, some machines that will help them grow their muscles. Just like that, for us in the spirit world, if we want to grow our faith, we have to be intentional about that. We have to set time aside in order to work our spiritual muscles. I was mentioning as the first reason why we don't live, and it's hard for us to live on the promises, is the fact that we don't know them. Well, part of it is that we don't take time to read the Bible. If we really take time to sink ourselves in the Bible, in the promises of God, that we fill our minds with it, that is a way that our faith will grow. If we hang out with people that are not just doing things on the physical level, on an emotional level, but if we hang out with people who are looking to God for answers and strength and wisdom, then our faith can grow. If we develop habits like worshiping the Lord, you see, worship, it sometimes doesn't make sense because we are worshiping, we are praying, we are talking, we are communicating to a person that we do not see with our eyes. We cannot hear most times with our, you know, with our physical ears. So it's a little bit awkward. And sometimes people don't do it, especially when we are depressed or tired or upset. It's hard to do those things. But it's exactly those things, like worshiping to God and praying and hanging out with friends and having fellowship together, true fellowship. It's exactly these things that build our faith. And when we build our faith, our spirit muscles, then we can live based on the promises of God. It is the faith, it's the amazing faith of God, you know, who does this to us. So I encourage you, I encourage myself to be intentional in looking for God's promises, in spending time with God, in immersing ourselves and submerging ourselves in the atmosphere of the Spirit. Because as we do so, the promises of God can become more real to us. Our faith grows. And again, I'm quoting Hebrews 11 and 6 to you. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible for us to receive Christ and to receive that inheritance that we have in Him. You know, so especially in this day and age when there are so many news, like with the internet, you see what happens. Or like on television, like these days, so much of the news is about the COVID. And to a certain point, yes, it makes sense. But obviously, like how many reports do you have to hear every day to understand that things are serious? Or how many casualties reports do you have to hear, you know, before you take some measures? So that is, to a certain degree, is necessary. But from a point on, it doesn't help us. In fact, it becomes like something heavy on us, on our hearts and minds. So we need to stop exposing ourselves to that, and we need to expose ourselves to some of the spirit news, which is the Word of God, reading the Bible, reading the Psalms, reading a good Christian book that is based on the Scripture. It's listening to God and saying, God, you hear the news, you know what's going on, but you give me strength, you protect me, Lord, you give me wisdom, you give me peace, you give me sanity. So it takes intentionality on our part to build our spirit muscles, to build our faith, so then we can live based on the promises of God. So we can fulfill our part so we can receive the promises of God. Just like I was sharing with you last week, you know, Jesus promised, God promised to us that we will harvest a good harvest, we'll get a good reward if we do not give up on doing good. If we do not tire in doing good, we will collect, we'll receive a great harvest. So, but in order for us to not give up, in order for us to persevere, in order for us to continue, then we need to develop our spirit muscles, which is faith, our fiber, our spiritual fiber, which does not come from how much we know. You know, I love physics, I love science, but you can read a lot about science, and that is not enough. I love psychology. I like to hear about relationships and empathy and how we can be in stronger community. But all the psychology in the world will not raise your faith unless you understand that the most important relationship is the one with God. So we look to Him. Okay, so, you know, God speaks, and what He speaks becomes reality. The world was created when God spoke, let there be light. And light is still traveling throughout the universe because God commanded it to. As I was studying for these messages, I was reminded of something important. In the old Jewish language, there was not even a specific word for promise. Some of you may say, wait a second. You just told us how important the promises of God are, and they are yes and amen. And now you're saying that in the old Bible, in the Old Testament, in the first books of the Bible, at that time there was not even a specific word for promises. Yes, that's what I'm saying. And basically what it says and what the meaning of this is this. God's word, it's solid, it's strong. When He says something, it's reality. God does not have two kinds of words. He doesn't have words of promises, of words that are not promises. When He speaks, when He says something, when He gives a word, God's word, when He's spoken through a prophet or through revelation, God's words, it's real. You can take it to the bank, as they say. It becomes the new reality for us. So basically, God equals promise because God's word is true. And that's why Jesus said to His disciples, what you heard from me is from the Father. The Father and I are one. And whoever believes in me is knowing the Father. If you follow me, Christ, you will get to the Father. If we look to God, and if we understand that He rewards those who seek Him, as Hebrews 11:6 says, it means that we have access to the promises of God. It means that we are moving our life, we are moving our reliance from living on our own, on our experiences, that we rely on Him, on His goodness. But I know that there's a struggle. It's a struggle for me at times, it's a struggle for you. And I also want to address a specific specific way in which our faith is not strong enough to receive the promises of God. And that has to do with the fact that we do not feel worthy of God's promises. We live so often based on circumstances, on what we can touch and what we can see, and what based on the realities caused by our feelings, our emotions, that sometimes we feel unworthy. Actually, we often feel unworthy of God's promises. And just like in a relationship, if we feel unworthy, then we cannot really flourish in that relationship. It's just like that with God. If we receive an invitation, let's say, you know, from the Queen, if you're in UK, or from the White House, or from, I don't know, like in Romania, from Prime Minister or from an important person, and if we don't believe in that paper, if we believe that that invitation is a fake, if we believe somebody just made a joke on us and that it's not real, we're not going to go to the reception. We're not going to go. We're not going to follow the invitation because we will think it's not for us. We think it's not real. Well, just like that, it happens to us with God. We do not believe that we are worthy of His promises. And because of that, you know, we are not enjoying them. You know, it's like going back to Ephesians. It talks about us becoming inheritors, heirs in Christ. You know, people, when somebody dies and they can receive something, they can receive some money, an inheritance, but if they don't believe it, if they don't receive it, if they don't go to a notary, if they don't respond to that, that they're not going to have access, they're not going to get the title deed for what they're entitled to because they do not believe it, they don't receive it. They refuse the inheritance. And it's just like us. That's what happens to us many times. We don't feel worthy. We confuse the fact that we are not worthy with the fact that we can receive the promises. And that's the great promise, that Jesus made us worthy, not because we are good and worthy, not because our behavior is so good that God had to say, man, this person is so good, this person is such a person of integrity, I have to fulfill my word to him. Or this person is a person who is perfect, this person never sins, never makes any mistake, so this person is worthy to be my child. It's not the way it works. I'm not trying to cheapen grace. There are enough people who do that. Grace is an amazing thing, and it came with a great price for God. Christ gave his life for it. But through grace, we have access to this promise of the gospel, like it says in Ephesians. And through that, we are becoming heirs of Christ, to the promise of Jesus Christ. And it's that. So that, in faith, we become humble. That's what the Bible repeatedly says, that God gives. He opposes the proud, he stands against the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So basically, we understand that we are not worthy of God, we are not worthy of his promises, but yet, by being humble and accepting the gift, we become heirs, inheritors of the grace of the promises of God. So please, I'm talking to myself, Christy, to you, looking at the camera, looking for all of us who are watching live or later, don't look at your feelings when you try to receive the promises of God. Because feelings can be fickle. They can be changing, like up and down. One minute you may feel like, yes, God loves me and I know it and I believe in it, and you can feel full of passion and glory and power. And just a few minutes later, something happens and you feel beaten down and you feel like you are not worthy and you feel like you are a failure to God and to everyone. And then it's like you cannot stand on any promises. But we look beyond that. We look to God as the author and finisher of our faith. Because he's the one whose word is yes and amen. His word is true. His word is a promise. Remember, God doesn't have two kinds of words, promising words and not promising words. What God says, it happens. It's a decree. And he can make it happen. Hallelujah. He gives grace to the humble and he opposes the proud. Are we going to be humble but yet confident that God gives us grace, increases our faith so we can live based on the promises? Because this is the way that God deals with people. And we have access to that. But all of this, living on God's promises, starts with a commitment. With a commitment to the person who gives us access to the promises of God. And that person is Jesus Christ. Understanding that Jesus came to strengthen the promises of God, like it says in Romans 15:8, he came to double down on the promises, to make them real, to say, yes, whatever you heard from the old times, it's real. And it's not only real for the Jewish people, it's real for everyone. For as many as God calls, the Holy Spirit is promised. The Spirit of God is making it real. But it starts with a commitment. Have you made that commitment to Jesus Christ? Are you following through that commitment to Jesus Christ? Or are we allowing circumstances and bad news and complicated relationships and realities of life to stop us or limit us in following through with our commitment to Christ? I encourage you today to look to God, to his goodness, and he is the one that helps us to live on the promises, not based on our results, not based on our merits. It's based on his merit. It's based on his goodness, on his given word. So there are many obstacles, and it's so easy to forget about the promises of God. It's so easy for us to focus on something else. But God encourages us. I am your father. I am your savior. I'm on your side. You are my child. I have died for you. You are now part of my body, my church. And through that, you have access to God. That's a reality. It's a spirit reality. But it doesn't mean it's less real than the physical reality. It doesn't mean that it's less important than the emotional reality that grips our heart. So I will choose to live based on God's promises. I will choose to live based on his word. I will choose Christ because he is the way to the Father. Because his authority is the authority of the Father. And his way is the one who leads to life. It's the way who rewards those who seek God by faith in Jesus Christ. And by faith in him, we can overcome any and all of these obstacles that prevent us from relying on him. But like I just said, it starts with a commitment to Christ. If you haven't made this commitment, I encourage you, please make it. Respond to that search of the Spirit in your heart. Open your heart, your whole life, not just partially. Don't just give God some aspects of your life. Give it all. Give it all. And if you made that commitment, and if you sense and if you know that you haven't followed through, come back to God. Come back to Christ. It's so easy for our hearts to divert from God. It's so easy for us to go back on our commitment. But God awaits for us. He's the God of a prodigal love for each and every one of us. So let me end in prayer. I'm going to pray for me and for you, for everybody in our community, and for everybody who happens to watch this. Let's recommit ourselves to Christ. Because that ensures that we can live on his promises. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for being the way to God, for making it real for us. You opened a way, you made a way for us to become heirs of Christ, heirs to your promise, together with the people of the Old Testament and in the New Testament, all in one body, one nation, by faith, being justified through the blood of Christ. Thank you for that. And help us, Lord, to look to that as the true reality of our life. Help us to not allow any obstacles, any of the obstacles I mentioned, or some other obstacles that sometimes prevent us from following you, from trusting on your promises. Your word is your promise to us, and your word is real because you are real, and we follow you. Help us, Lord, to stay committed to you. Help us to stay recommitted to you. I sense, Lord, that, you know, I see in my eyes, in my spiritual eyes, that there are people struggling with this. I know I am struggling at times, but help us, oh Lord. Help us come to you, to look to you as our source of promise, as our source of faith. Lift our eyes, raise our face to you, Lord Jesus, so we can overcome any and all obstacles, so we can live based on the promises, because we are your children. Jesus, your Savior, your older brother, you brought us into a new reality, and help us to live in this new reality. Thank you, Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for making it real and helping me and every person who listens to this to live based on the promise of God, because that's your plan, that's your desire. And we ask all of this in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father, and the name of the Spirit. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. I am blessed and you are blessed because we can live on the promises of God. Let's allow no obstacles to prevent us from that, but rather look to Jesus, who is the way to God. He is the way toward the promises, and he is making it real for us. Glory to him. Glory to him. Amen.